Hey, it's Dan Melnick. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zing, and I'm proud to be a sponsor of this podcast. So please check us out today as we can help fuel your business growth. MyZing.io. Thank you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Perfect, perfect. I've seen that you have fixed your website.
Yeah, it is working now. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, I was surprised when I've seen that. Yeah.
So, thank you very much. Firstly, thank for giving me opportunity to interview you for my YouTube channel and podcast and for my channels.
Yeah, sure. No problem. It's a good idea.
So, I've gone through a profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work, and also you have done a lot of work in your professional life. So, I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Yeah.
So can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Yeah. So I'm Franck Pachot. I've always been working with databases. I started at university. My first internship was building an application for Oracle. I've been working a lot with Oracle, mostly in consulting, in long-term or short-term projects for customers. And what was really interesting thing is that I've been working in development team and in operations. So that was really what has given me the best idea about how databases are used, how they are managed. So yeah, a lot of Oracle, different other databases a bit. Then when open source databases were raising Postgres. And that was for 20 years. And now I'm developer advocate for YugaByteDB. It's an open source distributed database. So I still use all my knowledge about how databases work, how they are used by applications. But also I learned a lot about distributed system and the cloud native installation of databases.
So as a developer advocate, what is your responsibility in YugaByte?
So, as a developer advocate, to summarize, I usually say that I'm a user that is paid to use the product and give feedback and help other users. I mean, other users of open source. You contribute, you maybe help other, but here I have 100% of my time helping developers, helping other, and gathering feedback for the product management. So, it's a bit of many things. It's a bit of marketing because my goal is to let people know about this new database. It's a bit of support because I help users or customers in some specific case. It's a bit of development because we have to build some demos, some sample applications to show how the best practice, how to connect and use the database. So yeah. A lot of things, also a bit of product management because you have to think about what can be improved in the product and discussing with engineering about what is really useful, what is good but must be better documented to be used by the user. So yeah, plenty of things, not one single thing to do, but plenty of things that can help many people. So that's what I like in that. Yeah.
So from internship to developer advocate, so how is this experience and working for different businesses and understanding different applications and telling the customers or your clients what database is and how it is useful and how it has been played a role?
When I started, I was in development teams and I learned databases as I was using them and then become database administrator. What I really enjoyed when working with databases was that with data, you are at the middle you have to understand how the business works. For example, if you work for a bank, even if your goal is just to manage the database, at some point you have to understand how operational, functional activities work in a bank. If it's in a telecom company, then you learn how they work, how the network equipment and data, how they rate and build the customer. So I really like that, understanding more the business, not just working with dummy data and doing code, but also understanding the business and the interaction with the users. For example, when I started on databases, I've been working a lot on data warehouses. That was completely new at that time, giving the users direct access to the database, that they can query the database without an application. Of course, with a tool like Business Object was at that time, but direct access to create the reports that they need. And that was really interesting because you work in a team with the users, with the application owners, and with the database.
So you have seen technology from past 20 years, from yep. your college life to today. So what is the observation in this evolution? What you have understood when it comes to database?
If I look at the wall, I think it's the only technology that lasted, the only technology that lasted for all that is SQL. I've learned SQL at school, at university, and I still use SQL, the same language, the same concepts, that it is declarative. Of course, it has evolved and the database have evolved a lot. But what I've learned about SQL at university, I still use it. And that's amazing. There are not a lot of technologies or languages that you see for so long. Maybe Java was one. Java came a bit after I started, but yeah, SQL everywhere. And even at the time where the trend was to go to NoSQL to start to deploy on distributed system without the constraints of SQL databases, this was interesting for a few years, but today we do the same. Today with distributed SQL, we have the same scalability and with the full SQL language. So SQL, relational database, relational model, that's really the technology that covers all my career. And that's very good. There are not a lot. You need to learn new things, but it's good to have the same basics and the same concepts.
So tell us about YugaByDB, because a lot of people not aware of it, and how it is helping humans, and in which way, and what kind of businesses are using this service.
Yeah, so it's a new database, but the idea was to build it with existing technology, not reinventing a new database. So new in the sense where the goal is to be able to scale out, to run a database on multiple servers. And if you do not work with databases, that seems obvious. That, yeah, for example, the application, you deploy the application on multiple VMs or multiple containers so that if one is down, the application just continues. Or if you need more power because the workload increased, you just add new containers. And with the database, for a very long time, it was always one single instance with some replicas in case of disaster recovery, with fast failover to them, but was still a single instance where the application connects. And if this instance crashes, then it has to reconnect to a new one after a few minutes. And if you want to scale, of course you can scale up because you have big machines, but usually you have to shut it down to start on a larger instance. So the big difference here with distributed SQL databases is that the database runs on multiple nodes. So you can connect to any node and you see the full database, even if data comes from different nodes. And this existed with NoSQL databases, but with a very limited API, a key value API, for example, not all the power of SQL and ACID properties and consistency. And distributed SQL architecture started mostly with Google Spanner, especially because Google had a lot of applications that had to web scale, and they were using NoSQL big tables, but they quickly see the limitation of it, having no schema, having no constraints. You have to do everything on the application, and then the application is more and more complex. Not complex with business logic, but complex to manage data, which is the reason for a database. And then Google started to build a Spanner with a distributed storage, but SQL feature on it. And within the same concept of the architecture, you don't have a lot of databases, but you have many ones that started, CockroachDB, TIDB, and YugaByteDB. The big differentiator of YugaByteDB is that the founders really knew that we need all SQL features. So the idea was not to add more and more SQL features on a database. All the features that were added on monolithic databases before. So the idea of the founders of YugaByte was, let's take a distributed storage like Spanner and plug Postgres on top of it. So you have multiple nodes which can have transactional operations across the cluster, but at key value level, at document level, and on top of it, on each node, you put Postgres with all the SQL features and which transform the complex SQL to those distributed key value.
So is it outside Switzerland?
Yeah. I'm the only one in Switzerland. We all work remotely and the headquarter is in California, in Sunnyvale. We are about 400 people. All working remotely on Slack. There is a big team in India, a big team in US, of course. And yeah, I'm the only one in Switzerland.
So can I call you a DB expert?
I do not call myself as expert, but I think I have a good expertise in SQL databases. Very good expertise because long experience on Oracle, also on Postgres, and of course, YugaByte. I'm working with YugaByte every day, and I interact with the users and the engineers. So yeah, can call it expertise, but yeah.
So I'm sure in your experience, you might have worked with different applications in this 20 plus years of career. So how do you define, software development? Because you have also been working in development side and you also know how application works. So how do you interconnect database with application that you worked, based upon the complete experience that you have?
I've seen a big shift in mind. Of course, when I started, application were not built the same, and it's not about the language. It's more about the release cycles. When I started in IT, you were designing the new version of the application for about a few months and then starting to code it and then testing and validating with the users. And then you deploy the new version after 1 or 2 years, maybe. This is completely different today. So this is a big evolution. Today, we need to have all the infrastructure that can allow that with no failures, with automated tests. And this, of course, involves the database. And database was always seen as a problem in it. For example, the application, it's easy to deploy a new application, to just start a container, run some tests. But the database has a state. So you can do the same, but you have to build data to test it. You cannot tell directly the production data because of security reason and confidentiality. So it's a bit more complex with the database, but we need to do the same. And today, you can see that in good enterprises with good DevOps practices, but it was really long to start to work with the database, like with the application for those modern environments. I've seen also a big difference. When I started, the DBAs in the data center acted as if the data belonged to them. You really had this operation team that was taking all decisions. Today it's completely different. It's the application side that takes the decisions, and the DBAs manages the container of the data, but do not own the data. And there are more and more managed services. So the role of the DBA or the database expert is a bit different. So with managed service, you don't have to patch the database, which is not the activity that I prefer, but you have more to understand the application, the performance, be sure that it will scale, discuss with the developers. And I find that really, really interesting. I know I've seen other DBAs who like to do every day the same thing. Look if the backup are good on the morning, and then patch some database, and then increase some space. I don't really like that. I really prefer working with developers, looking at performance. I really like looking at database execution plans and see what we can improve in the performance. So yeah, different, same technologies, but the job evolves.
So as a developer advocate, you are being the mediator between the developers, also the clients, for their applications. So how is that role, and how do you enjoy it?
So I'm the mediator between the users and the engineering building the database. And I realized that usually the people who build the database, the engineer who build the features in the database, many times they have no idea how the users are using those features. And I've seen that also before being developer advocate. I was being a consultant, but also going a lot to conferences and contributing in blog posts and interacting with product managers also. And I've seen that what people have in mind when they build a new feature in the database may be very different from what user think about it, how they will use it. Users maybe will find, we will not use the real feature and the real value of the feature because it was not well documented, well explained. And maybe they will use a side effect of it that serves a purpose for them, but brings other problems. So being in the middle for me is really, really cool, because it helps the engineering of the database to understand how the feature works, what doesn't work, but also what works. Always good when you build something to know that people use it. And also a large part of my job is also explaining the features. We are a new database with a lot of new features, and explaining those features to the users. It's always important to understand the purpose of a feature, not just try it and see that it does something that you want to do, but understand why it does that, to see if you use it in the right way or in the wrong way. Because if you use it in the wrong way and it seems to work, then one day it may bring more problems than what is solved. So, yeah.
So do you have any particular experience that you had in your role, working for different applications, because you are being a mediator between users and engineering? You might have seen businesses, the size of the business, the users, the number of users using the large amount of database. What is the highest size of the database that you worked for, and how was that?
So the highest size is in petabyte. For example, I've been working 1 year, a bit more than 1 year at CERN, the accelerator in Geneva, and they handle a lot of data. Actually, it's only the metadata for all the experiments that goes into SQL databases, but that's already a lot and was around petabyte. But I don't think that the size of the database itself changes a lot. I've seen very critical systems running on small databases, but more critical in the sense where performance must be predictable, high availability must be there, That's probably a better criteria than the size of the database itself. Also, I've seen some databases, and even DBA is being proud of the big database they have. And finally, when you look at it, the database was large just because they do not purge the data that they can, do not archive the data that they can. So nothing to be proud of it. It's probably better if you can maintain the size of the database so that operation is possible. This is why you need to partition it, to distribute it, because at some point, if you have to move physically a database somewhere to another server, another storage, move to the cloud, move back on premises, then the size, of course, will matter. And more important is the predictability of it. You don't want surprises with a database. Whether big or small, you want that it works the same during business hour or during the night when there is nobody in front of it. And you want the performance visible by the user to be the same on Black Friday when there is all this activity and other days. So yeah, this is more the criteria about good databases more than being big or not. Also the working set. You can have a very big database with a lot of cold data. And then within that, you have the set of data that is read frequently and usually smaller, the set of the data that is written, ingested. And they have different concerns, of course.
So what is the difference between using database before cloud and after cloud?
Before cloud and after cloud, databases were kind of late to go to the cloud for multiple reasons. First, a lot of database administrators are very conservative, and there are also many legal rules. For example, in Switzerland, a lot of companies must have their data in Switzerland. I've seen something quite funny. Before the cloud, there were a lot of improvements in storage, in I/O. When I started, the disks were mechanical disks with the related latency. And, I don't see you anymore, but it's a recording, so I continue. I was saying that at the time I started, the data was stored on mechanical disks, and it was slow, of course, with the latency, and the backups were going to tape. And this has evolved to databases that were storing their data on SSDs with lower latency and backups to disks. And then going to the cloud, in some cases, it looks like coming back to the latency that we had before, because instead of local disks, you have disk behind the network. So first, you have the infrastructure that adds some latency. And also, the most important is the cost. And when you provision an instance in the cloud, you have limits on the number of IOs, on the throughput, on the bandwidth. And then I've seen some databases who have poor performance, like in the old time of mechanical disks. So yeah, that's the funny thing. The big change is the cost management, which is not something I like a lot. All this accounting about the resources that are used and trying to improve that. I prefer just to improve the performance itself, and you will see the results on the bill also. But yeah, that's very important. To take an example, if you use Aurora, the AWS database, you pay the cost in the I/O that is done behind. But a user doesn't know how many I/O will be behind a query. And this is where you can have surprises. You run a query, you have no idea about how many IOs to the disk, because this depends on many things, on the cache, on what the others are doing. So yeah, again, predictability, avoiding surprises on the bill also. Yeah.
So tell me more about Yugabyte DB, distributed post Postgres SQL for modern apps.
Yeah, so YogaByDB today is used mostly for OLTP. The goal is not to build distributed data warehouses for multiple reasons. First, because for a data warehouse, you don't need all these ACID properties, consistencies. And also there are other solutions. There is Snowflake, there is a Redshift in AWS. There are many solutions for data warehouse. For OLTP, before that, you had no solution beyond the monolithic databases where you have to connect to a single node. So the use cases first are OLTP and can be the need to scale out for high throughput, for large volume. But the most important is high availability, and more than high availability, resilience. With monolithic databases, the availability has evolved a lot. Having a standby that where you can switch over or fail over very quickly to it. But in a monolithic database, this is still a downtime. If the primary database fails, the application is down. I have to reconnect to the new standby when it is up, and it has to warm up the cache to get the good performance and all that. With YogaByte, whether you have a large or a small database, the advantage is that it's completely resilient. One node can be down or just not reachable because the network is down for a few seconds, for example. And here, everything continues. It's not seen as a downtime from the application. It just continues. Maybe if your transaction were involved with the failure, maybe you will wait a few seconds, but then it will continue because another node will continue on your transaction. You don't have, the application doesn't get an error. It may have to wait a few seconds, TCP/IP timeout, for example, when it's about the network, but it just continues. So, yeah, the main point is that more than high availability, it is resilience to failure and also maintenance. You always have to upgrade the OS, apply patches, security patches in emergency. With a monolithic database, you have to stop the database and restart it at least. With a distributed database, you just do it node by node, and then nobody see any problem. And when you have done this rolling upgrade, everything is on the new version.
So, which businesses are using this service?
Yeah, and then the businesses, so the biggest customers, retails, banks. I don't know exactly which one I can name or not, but the in the biggest retail in US, some of them are using YogaByte, some big banks also, because of the high availability. That I would say there are two kinds of users. One kind of users are those who really need to scale, and they were going to NoSQL. We have a lot of those big users who were using Cassandra to scale, but then the application becomes more and more complex because the application has to manage the lack of consistency and SQL features. So that's one. Those who were on NoSQL and moving to SQL databases. And there are others who just come from Oracle, Postgres, Aurora, and need better resilience, high availability. And going to the cloud, of course, and cloud can be public cloud or on-premises. For example, I would not recommend deploying a traditional database on Kubernetes because it may bring more problems than what it solves, except if you are really very good in operating Kubernetes and have good operators to automate things. But a monolithic database, even if you run on Kubernetes, you have always a single pod where you connect to, and that's not really the goal of Kubernetes. With a distributed database, you can just deploy it as many pods, and then you have all the advantage of Kubernetes, like you just scale a stateful set and the database scales automatically. You have no additional operations to do.
So why this fascination on infrastructure being in backside of the technology. Why not development?
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Seems we were disconnected.
Yeah, we are connected.
Yeah.
So my question was, why this fascination on infrastructure? Why backside of the application? What is that driving force which is making you work on database every day?
Ah, good question. Why working on infrastructure? I think it's really databases. There are other parts of the infrastructure where I'm less interested in. But I like also development, but I think it's just a different mindset. The development I do, except when I started, where I was really coding for applications. But now most of the development I do is just sample applications or of course, a lot of automation when I was DBA, but automation with scripts or with declarative languages. But I really like data. It's more than the infrastructure. Of course, usually when you look at juniors out of university, they don't really look at the jobs in the infrastructure. It's kind of the invisible part. I mean, everybody sees a nice new screen on a mobile phone for a new application, and nobody really understands the complexity of what is running in the back end. I remember just an example. I remember when I was a consultant in one of the customer. They had a really critical database running all the production. It was really that monolithic database running everything in a large factory. And there were only four people working on the database, and they were really doing a great job. And to be only four means that they have automated a lot of things. But nobody really cared about that. Everybody was talking about that new application on the mobile phone that was very nice, and all levels of management were seeing that. And nobody was really seeing that the whole factory was working without outages because of those four people on databases. So yeah, it deserves to be known better, I think, and probably deserve to be known better at university. To learn a bit more about it. Today, I don't see a lot of juniors DBAs. For example, if I go a lot to conferences. When I go to developer conferences, you have all different ages. When you go to Postgres conferences, to Oracle conferences, you see mostly people of my age and not a lot of juniors, and that's a problem, yeah.
So tell me, you as AWS AWS Data Hero.
AWS Data Hero. So that's the advocacy program of AWS. It's not the first advocacy program where I'm in. I've been, for a long time, I've been an Oracle ACE. The goal is just that the vendor likes to have some people that are not part of their company doing some advocacy and doing this similar to a developer advocate, talking to users, talking to product manager. And it's always good that it's outside of the company, because then you have a different view. For AWS, I was quite surprised when I was nominated Data Hero, because I do not use AWS services as much as I used Oracle, for example, before. But I think the goal of AWS is really to have some people who can give feedback help users, let people know, blog about the services. And what I really like, I've absolutely no constraints. I can blog about everything, good things, bad things. The idea is really that there is nothing to hide. And if it helps the users, then it's also always good to talk about it. And that's what I really like. And AWS is really nice with AWS Heroes. For example, we are invited at the reInvent conference, and this is a great place to meet product managers, users, but also other companies. What I've seen also with this program, the recognition is not only from AWS. You see other companies who recognize the AWS Heroes for what they do, whatever they do. I mean, it's not a technical certification. It's not a commitment to publish a lot of things. It's more being part of the community in a different way.
So tell me, you as a Oracle certified master.
Yeah. I've been working a long time with Oracle Database. At some point, I started to take some certifications. Mostly, as I mentioned, I've been working in development teams and operation team. And at some point, I thought I didn't have the right balance in my resume, in my curriculum vitae. Probably not enough operations too many developments for the job I was applying to. And then I thought that passing the certification would be good to show that my knowledge covers the whole product, not only some little experience on it. And so that was my goal in certifications. And also what I discovered is that the most interesting when you go to this certification way is the preparation of it. More than the diploma after that, it forces you to learn different things and even some features that maybe you will never use, but it's good to know that they are there. So that was the first certification. And then the master one is really the highest level at Oracle, where it's not just questions to answer. It's really you are 2 days in a classroom and you have some labs to do. Nothing very tricky, because it's all about documented features. They don't ask you the special things that you can see in production. But you need to know very well how it works, because you have to go fast. You have many labs to do in 1 or 2 hours, like installing the most complex deployment for Oracle. It was RAC, for example. So yeah, I would recommend everybody to look at certification. It's not something that is needed, but it's something that can help. If you think that you want to continue on databases and that your experiences in your resume is not enough, then maybe it's good to add certifications, and it will also help you to learn new things.
So with your expertise and with your skill set, right now you're working in Gigabyte, and you also have certifications in it, like AWS and also Oracle. So what you suggest a business it will be extremely valuable. They can be from any part of the world. You know, they belong to any industry. The business can be belong to any industry which can be using Gigabyte database. So how do you tell them in, you know, how it is different from others, and how it is more effective and efficient, in which way, you know, it can face challenges and can able to resolve the issues and can make, you know, the business in a, you know, productive way.
Yeah, compared to other databases, of course, many advantages of a new database is that beyond the main value of it being distributed, being resilient, being able to scale horizontally, in addition to that, because it's a new storage, There are things that are more optimized for modern infrastructure, for cloud, for example. If we compare, we use Postgres for the query layer, for the SQL layer, and Postgres has a lot of features there. Postgres is also very good in general, but in the storage layer, there are many things that are inherited from years and years of evolution that were optimized for different server. If you use Postgres, you probably had problems tuning vacuum with transaction ID wraparound, the very well-known problem that come with it, that evolve, but have to evolve slowly in a database that must be very conservative because it's used for years in many places. So one side advantage of a new database is that it's like restarting from scratch. For example, everything is optimized for SSD. We do not even recommend to run on mechanical disks because it makes no sense today. So many things are optimized there. Of course, there are also some drawbacks. You go to a new database, you may expect not the same stability as old databases. Means that you must be prepared to upgrade faster, patch faster, because it evolves a lot. It's not like if you take Oracle, you can take an old version as long as it is supported and you can apply the security patches. And you can run your application without really caring about the new features. So that's also a different mind. Of course, working with open source database is a bit different. You need to have this mindset that it's not a vendor, where you pay expensive licenses and you put all the responsibility to them, with open source. You have the responsibility of it. Of course, you can pay for support and then give responsibility. But if you use it only open source, then you have the responsibility of deploying correctly, understanding how it works, upgrading, and working with the community to get support and also giving back. An open source project can evolve because of the feedback, the contributions. And contribution is not only code. Contribution is helping documentation or just testing. One of my goals as a developer advocate is to have more and more users, even if they use open source, even if they do not give any money about it. What they give is that they try Yugabyte. For example, they have a specific application running on Postgres. They try Yugabyte with it. If there is something that works not as expected, then they can tell us and we can improve the database. Today, if you want to create a new database without this feedback from open source, it would take 15 years and that's not possible.
So how you become a developer advocate and also being a professional who worked on actually the database side. This is understanding the business side of the technology, being as an developer advocate, interacting with users and trying to understand how the architecture of the application is, and also you working on database, you know, trying to communicate with the systems. So two different jobs that is very important in technology that you did and you're doing.
Yeah, that means open mind. For example, I've always enjoyed working with developers and understanding how they work. I've seen a lot of DBAs complaining about developers, thinking that developers are there only to break their database, thinking that they don't use the right tool. For example, they use ORMs like Hibernate, and then the DBA see queries that are not optimal and think it's all problematic for all problems from the developers. It's very important to be open-minded. And even if you think that their application is sending very bad query to your database, it's important to understand why they did this way. And then you will understand that they have many other constraints. They have very frequent releases. The management may not give time to build the perfect design. So just doing something that works is okay. And also they have applications to evolve. They developers today have need a lot of skills. They need to understand many, many different components, many languages, but they interact with databases, they interact with a queuing system, they interact with many services in the cloud, and they cannot go deep dive on all of them. It's perfectly normal that a developer doesn't know all the details about how the database works, because database is just one component for them. The DBA who knows how the database works must discuss with them to help that. So open mind is probably the most important. Before being a developer advocate, I was doing already kind of the same aside from my normal job, going to conferences, answering in forums, blogging. Today, everything I test, for example, I have a user, he has a question, I think I have an answer, but I test it. Everything I test, I put that in a blog post. And this is why I blog a lot. It helps me first, because then if I see the problem again, I know that I already looked at it and I have all information about it. Also, it's very nice when you have the same question from someone else, you just send the link to the blog post and tell, okay, I think this solves your problem. So that's very interesting. Something that I can mention also that may be interesting for juniors, contributing to whatever blog post, open source, documentation, code, whatever, contributing and social social networks. If you have a reputation on the internet, if your recruiter can see what you have done on open source, what you have published, that's much better than a big resume or a big curriculum vitae, because it's real stuff. What you put in your resume is some keywords about technologies, but it doesn't tell you how you will work in a team, how you will understand the requirements, how you will think about reducing the technical debt on what you deploy, for example. Everything you do when you contribute to open source, for example, it shows that you know how to work in a team, because you have to take care about the pull request that you send, to explain it, to document it. So it's also very good for juniors, especially to find a job when you already have some contributions that are visible, publicly visible somewhere.
So as an expert, as an experienced professional who worked on DB and also now working as a developer advocate for Yugabyte DB, being in technology, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
My observation about your work?
My work, yeah.
I didn't know it before, so I quickly looked at it. I find this, I mentioned the public contribution, and that's also one that is very, very useful. Interviewing people, getting some different ideas. It's useful for you. It's useful for everybody. And yeah, that's really nice. What is good is to have many kind of contributions. There are some people who like to read articles. There are some people who like to watch a long video. There are some people who like short videos. And yeah, what you do is really cool, in the sense where you bring also different people, different technologies. It's not always focused. That's also something I've seen a lot, especially in database conferences, where people stay in the small group of those doing the same. They go to database sessions, they go to the same database conferences, and I love to go to a conference and attend to session on things that I don't know, just because it opened my mind to some other problems. And what you are doing is exactly that, because you interview very different people and get some feedback about how it is working in IT with that.
So I personally did a master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working as a cloud DevOps engineer for a UK company. So that's my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the industry from long time, who are working for different businesses and who are working for working in different parts of the world. So what I'm going to learn with these conversations and how this experience is talking with experts like you, who are working already in different domains, how this is going to be adding to my career and my profession in future.
I think it's just opening mind and then you will go your way. But I have a question for you. How did you start to do that? Where came the idea to do that?
So when I've completed my master's, I was preparing for PhD entrance, where I have to understand and study again the master's and also bachelor's subjects, where I found this computer networks was the interesting subject, where computer science connected with each other, routers, all this, the connectivity between devices and information sharing between computers. So I tried to understand more deeper. This connectivity technology between computers is created by human being. And yep. What was the motivation for human being to create this kind of a connectivity between computers and sharing information between it and with the protocols and all these things? So I tried to understand, before understanding computer networks, I need to understand human networks. I want to create a human network as a human being who born on particular part of the planet. I want to create a human network, me being a node and trying to communicate and connect with all kinds of people from all countries, more than 100 countries experts I have interviewed. I just wanted to be a photocopy of that technology, which is already there.
That's really cool because I'm lucky in my job. I can travel. I go to conferences. For example, I was in the US 2 weeks ago. I was in India 4 weeks ago. So I have this luck, but not a lot of people can for different reasons because the job doesn't allow, but also the country. I also live in Europe where it's quite easy to travel to other countries. There are some countries where it's more difficult. So I can meet other people and meeting other culture, different mind, different skills is always good. And what you are doing, you bring that to people who may not be able to travel, who even may not be able to go to conferences or local meetups because of family duties or whatever. And it's really good that you can bring that. And this human side is really also what I like in IT and in databases. We work with technology, but we work with humans. And especially today, for example, I'm working fully remote, and I could not imagine working fully remote without meeting people elsewhere. And virtual meetings, what you are doing is also a way to meet to meet people and have a good network. So yeah, really good.
So you have a blog. What you write there?
I have multiple blogs. I blog a lot on dev too. Mostly I write the things that I test. So the things I were not sure how it works or I know how it works, but not sure what is the best way to explain it. And writing a blog post forces me to test it and to go into many details. You know, when there is something that you think you understand, when you start to explain to someone else, then you realize all the little pieces that you may not understand fully. I write a lot about what I test. It's kind of documenting, but in a different way, and solving problems. Ideally, my blog solves problems. When I meet someone and telling me, oh, your blog post really solved the problem I had no idea about, then that's perfect. Yeah.
Can you spell it to my podcast listeners so that they can learn from you?
So I blog on the Yugabyte blog, so blog.yugabyte.com. I blog a lot on dev too. And also on LinkedIn, I put some articles. So sometimes I decide, depending on the content, what is really technical goes to Dev2, what is really for Yugabyte users goes on the Yugabyte blog. And on LinkedIn, it's also some thoughts about architecture, distributed SQL, distributed database, NoSQL, sharding, and all that. So yeah, many places. My goal is that people can find, if they search on Google, for example, for a question, is that they will find it on the right place more than following a blog. If you want to follow all the content, everything is on Twitter. Today I'm a lot on Twitter, and I publish. I have also accounts, of course, on the others, on Mastodon, on Blue Sky. But for the moment, Twitter is still the main point where I publish what I publish elsewhere. And also I have very good discussions on Twitter. This network you were talking about, it's really important that people understand that they can discuss with others. Before going to conferences, before being part of this database community, I was very shy. I was reading some blogs. For me, those were gurus, and I was really shy. And then when you go to conference, you have the occasion to discuss with those people and realize that they are just the same as you. They just decided to share it, but they are not the teachers that are unreachable, and so yeah, we are all humans and loving IT, and then we all like to learn and share.
So do you have a final message to the university students who are coming out from the university with their projects, because you have started your career, technology career, from internship to today, after 20 years, developer advocate? What message that you want to give that will be extremely valuable for them, no matter which part of the world they are hearing and listening to you now?
I think I have a message, but I'm not sure it's a good idea to follow it or not, but I have a message. Do not stay in a place where you don't feel you are learning and meeting great people. I was very lucky to be in places, kind of randomly, because doing consulting and going to different projects, I've met very, very nice people, very smart people. I've learned a lot. And I've also seen some people staying in the same position, because it's more comfortable to stay in the same position. But in IT, if you don't learn, if you do not enjoy learning new things, then probably you are not at the right place. So do not fear changing. Of course, you must be ready to change, and contributing to open source, having some visible contribution on internet may help. And yeah, that's my recommendation. Do not stay in a place where you are not happy.
So I'll share your web links in the description of this video on YouTube, also on the screen as well. I'll share also your web links in my website. People who visits my website can able to see your work and can able to learn from your blogs and your content. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to understand, in-depth knowledge about database for sure. So can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yeah, sure. And I will share that on social network. Yeah. I really like what you are doing, and it's good that we can share and broadcast it. Yeah.
And also, can I put this video on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
So thank you very much again, Frank, for giving me opportunity to interview you and letting me ask you a few questions and telling about your work to my audience.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. Take care.